Hartelijk welkom bij Hour of Power, in de serie van internationale sprekers van morgen Ken Duncan. Ken Duncan is een Australische natuurfotograaf die een fobie had om zijn huis uit te komen, nu over de hele wereld de meest fantastische foto's maakt, waar hij ook veel prijzen mee wint. En hij spreekt over het thema Het leven met God is een avontuur. En verder natuurlijk het koor van de Crystal Cathedral. En dominee Schuller interviewt Nazareth, een Israëliet die op zoek ging naar vrijheid en dat vond in Amerika, maar niet op de manier zoals hij dat verwachtte. En bij Hour of Power Nederland, Robert Smits. Hij zet zich in voor de straatkinderen die verslaafd zijn aan de drugs en in krottenwijken wonen, waar heel veel gemoord wordt ook, in Brazilië. Een hele interessante uitzending dus van Hour of Power. Het thema, het leven met God is een avontuur, is zeker van toepassing op deze aflevering.
Join us today for the best hour on television, the Hour of Power from the Crystal Cathedral.
Good morning. My name is Robert Schuller, and I'm one of the ministers here. Still. This truly is the day that God has made. Hallelujah. I'm rejoicing in it. Let's all be happy together.
be seated. Now I want you to listen to the scripture. It's written over 2,000 years ago. And hear these words. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of these rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations. Declare his wonders among the people of the earth. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give to the Lord, O families of the people. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory due his name. Bring an offering. Come before him. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let the heavens rejoice. And let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever. This is the word of God.
The people in the land of the great, faithful prophet Elijah of the Old Testament had strayed away from believing in God and went to their own self-made god, Baal. Elijah tried for years to bring them back to the Lord God, Jehovah. He finally did. It was in the process they were going through in which there was a great drought. There was no harvest, no food, no water. People were dying by the thousands. But they did return with Elijah to God, and they pleaded with Elijah to please pray for water to save them. Elijah did, and the water came with a mighty fury, and great rushes of water, and they were saved. And they had an enormous celebration, in the midst of which Elijah says, But the Lord is above and almighty. The Lord is above all and almighty. Reminding them that when we pray, and I should say reminding us, when we pray and our prayers are answered, and we are happy for those answers, that we remember it is God to whom we give thanks. Thanks be to God. By Mendelssohn from his oratorio, Elijah.
My guest today is Nazareth. He's the president of the Christian Comedy Association, has toured with the Righteous Brothers, the Temptations, and worked with B.B. King. This year he hosted the Dove Awards in Nashville at the Grand Ole Opry. But his greatest credit is being a husband and father of three. He has a new DVD called Free to Laugh. You can get it in our bookstore. He's here to share how the God of infinite possibilities touched his life. Welcome with me, Nazareth.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Good morning.
Who cleans the windows for you guys? That's a lot of Windex.
Well, we thought we'd ask Nazareth to submit a bid. Seriously, how did you get your name?
Well, I'm from the Middle East. Ever since September 11th, I feel so Mexican. But I'm happy to be here because I don't have to fly. I drove from Corona, and thank God the freeways are open for that. But normally when I fly, I miss my connection flights because I can't run through the airport anymore. People will tackle me. So I want to encourage people who look like me, don't run through the airport. But I was born in Nazareth, Israel. And it's a family tradition to name you after the city. I feel sorry for my brother Waikiki, my other brother Albuquerque, and my poor sister Buffalo. Location, location, location. I do have a last name too.
What is it?
It's R-I-Z-K-A-L-L-A-H. We pronounce it Smith for immigration reasons.
They're wonderful. What brought you to the United States?
Well, I came here. I lived in Kuwait after leaving the Holy Land, and I went to college in Toledo, Ohio. It's a wonderful nation. It's the only place in the world where you can take French toast, English muffin, Canadian bacon, and call it the all-American breakfast.
Where were you born?
I was born in Israel.
In Israel?
Yes. In the Holy Land. And I moved when I was three, moved to Kuwait.
Why?
My family migrated from over there, and I have a bad travel agent. And I went to school there, and then I moved in 1984 to the United States to attend college. In 1986, I moved to Southern California, to Garden Grove, California.
Really?
Yes. And I had a hip pain in my leg that since I was 16. I couldn't walk from here to there without severe pain, and I went through college through that. And in 1986, when I came to California, I went to a library on Euclid, and there was a cassette with a guy named Dr. Robert Schuller's picture. Says, you know, possibility thinking. And I was listening to that, and I listened to other, encouraged me to listen to more motivation stuff, and I ran the Los Angeles Marathon.
Good for
yes.
you.
So thank you.
Thank you. So how did you get involved in comedy?
Well, you know, after
Are comedians born or do they develop it?
Some are born, some are developed.
What are you?
I don't know yet. I'm developing on being a born comedian. But what got me into comedy, when I finished that marathon, and I never thought I would be able to finish it, I sat down there with the medal in my hand and I said, if I can do anything in life that if I never get paid for it, I will still do it to the best of my ability, what would it be? Hmm. And comedy was the first thing that hit me.
Really?
Yes, so the next night I went to Hollywood. I signed up at an open mic night at a comedy club. At midnight, there was 9 drunks in the audience. I did my 3 minutes of comedy, and one guy fell off his chair laughing, and I said, this is it, and I've been on stage since.
Yeah. All you need are 9 drunk comedians.
Yes, that's all.
And well, after a while, you realized something was missing. You were not a Christian?
I was not a Christian. I came from a Christian, Greek Orthodox background. I didn't know who Jesus Christ was. And I was doing my comedy, my dirty comedy in the clubs. And I thought I'd be happy because when I came to this country, I wanted to be free. I came from the Middle East. I want freedom. And I was not free. I got myself in bondage to drugs, alcohol, immorality, and I was just empty inside. And one night, I looked at a Christian comedian. He was a man who's a Christian. And was clean. I said, God, if you're the God that those boring Christians say who you are, I want to be free like them. And God answered my prayer. And within a month, I was in a church. I was in love and passionate to read the Word of God. And I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior.
How many years ago?
That was in August of 1992. 16 years ago.
Not that long.
No. But it's been, you know, now I know it's the most exciting life that you can live. There's nothing boring about being a Christian walking with Jesus Christ.
That's fantastic. Your wife, you met her unexpectedly. That's a story.
Yes. When I accepted Christ, I said, Lord, I'm going to practice abstinence. If you have a wife for me, you're going to bring her to me. I'm not going to go out and date. I'm not going to touch a woman. I'm going to wait for you to give me a wife. Because I wanted a godly woman. I didn't know how to meet a godly woman. What's my pickup line going to be? I agape you, you weaker vessel. You look hotter than the lake of fire. I didn't know. So I said, God, if you want to give me a wife, you do that. I'll wait on you. And I waited. And in 1995, my father was dying at Hogue Hospital in Newport Beach. So I went to see him in the intensive care unit. And the nurse said, you can't see him. I said, why? It says, ICU. Dumb joke, but I got to see my dad for the last time. And he said, son, would you do me a favor when I die? I said, what? He said, would you go to Israel for me? I said, yes. He said, would you go to the Gaza Strip for me? I said, no. You've heard of the Gaza Strip.
Of course,
Strip.
Yes.
People with uneven facial hair going, death to America?
Yeah.
And they're wearing a Nike shirt.
Yeah.
Separation of apparel and state. But I went there, and the first night I'm having dinner with my cousin, his fiancée, and her sister. So they asked me, they said, what's wrong with you? You're so joyful. What's wrong? I said, you want to know? Jesus Christ came into my life and changed my life and gave me hope. And my cousin looks at the girls, go, don't listen to him. He's one of these born-again Christians. Well, her sister said, me too. I said, but would you like to marry me? She goes, I've been praying for a believer to come to this side of the world. I'm going to fast and pray for 3 days. I'll get back to you. 3 days later, she came back. She goes, I'm starving. Let's do it. We've been married for 12 and a half years now.
This is fantastic.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. You've been married 58 years, Dr. Shirley.
Yes, right?
Yes,
you're right.
We got married a year and a half later. She got pregnant. We went to Lamaze. Lamaze is a French word that means don't waste your money. The baby is going to come out anyway. And we had a boy. We named him Newport Beach. And a daughter, Carol, and my latest...
That is just a joke.
Well, yes, we call him Newport at home, but his real name is John. And then we have Carol, and last year we had baby Tally.
Wow.
Yes.
So, thank you for who you are, for what you are, and for letting Jesus come into your life in such a healthy way.
Yes.
Because he gives you a healthy human personality.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Thank you for having me. Thank you for what you do.
Thank you.
God bless you.
3000 jaar geleden schreef hij deze psalm die net gezongen werd. Koning David is hij geworden, maar toen was hij op vlucht voor een andere koning, koning Saul. En hij riep in doodsnood uit, waar komt mijn hulp vandaan? En dat, ja, die vraag die hebben heel veel mensen vandaag natuurlijk ook, ook heel veel jongeren. Het thema van de christelijke titel is, ken God, hou van mensen en dien je naasten wereldwijd. Een prachtig thema natuurlijk en gelukkig. En ik ken ze, heel veel mensen die wereldwijd zich inzetten voor die naasten die hulp zoeken. En een van is vanmorgen hier op bezoek bij Hour of Power. Het is Robert Smits. En Robert, goedemorgen.
Goedemorgen.
Als jongen vertrok je op vakantie naar Brazilië, Rio de Janeiro. Je ging daar rondwandelen en wat zag je?
Ik kwam in Brazilië en voornamelijk toen ik in Rio was op het plein Centraal Station. Toen, dat was om zaterdagmiddag die ik nooit zal vergeten, heel grauw weer. En ik zag allemaal kinderen. Een honderdtal kinderen tussen de zwervers, tussen de prostituees. En toen keek ik ernaar en toen had ik echt het idee van, hier zou ik nooit willen en kunnen werken. Want ik werkte met moeilijk opvoedbare kinderen in Nederland. En toen voelde ik heel duidelijk van binnen van, maar hier is de plek waar jij gaat werken. En toen zei ik, dat kan niet. Ik kan hier niet werken, dit is veel te moeilijk, ik ken de taal niet, het is gewoon onmogelijk.
Tegen wie zei je dat? Ik kan dat niet?
Tegen mezelf. Ik voelde het duidelijk dat het een echte stem was die van binnenuit kwam en die dat tegen mij zei. Die dat mij duidelijk maakte dat ik daar iets voor die kinderen moest doen. En toen was het heel opmerkelijk, zoals ik zei, het was een grauwe dag. En ineens bovenop Centraal ging een stukje blauwe lucht kwam tevoorschijn. En toen had ik het idee van, en hier weet ik zeker dat ik eens terugkom en daar ga ik met de straatkinderen in Rio werken.
Je werd geraakt door het lot van die kinderen. Je ging terug naar Nederland, maar ze lieten je niet los?
Nee, want ik wist zeker dat ik terug zou komen naar die kinderen.
Ja, maar heel veel mensen hebben dat. Hè? Die zijn ergens op vakantie of worden ergens geraakt door. En dan zeggen, nou, hier ga ik mijn leven aan geven. Maar ja, als je dan weer terugkomt in de realiteit van Nederland, dan lukt dat niet. Dus wat heb jij gedaan?
Ja, ik geloof gewoon dat iedereen heeft een bepaalde gave, een bepaalde vaardigheid. En als wij die in dienst stellen van Jezus, dan brengt hij ons naar die speciale plaats van nood. Nou, bij de ene kan dat in zijn eigen woonplaats zijn en in de ander voor een ander land. Nou, dat was voor mij heel duidelijk, dat moest in Rio zijn en daarheen ging ik terug.
Zomaar?
Een jaar daarna, zomaar. Ik nam een pensionnetje en ik wist niet, ik kon geen mensen, ik kon de taal niet. Maar ik wist dat ik daar moest zijn en daar ben ik dan ook begonnen.
Robert, hoe begin je dan om die straatkinderen? Heb je er een opgepakt en mee naar huis genomen?
Nee, wij begonnen gewoon heel simpelweg met broodjes uitdelen. Iedere avond gingen we om 10 uur naar de straat. En dan gingen we, hadden we contact met de kinderen. Het vertrouwen winnen van die kinderen, wat niet gemakkelijk was. Het spelletje spelen, met een medicijnenkoffer lopen om de wondjes te behandelen van die kinderen.
En nu?
Nu is er een hele grote organisatie eigenlijk gegroeid. Want eerst kwam er een woonhuis bij. Toen kwam daarna nog een woonhuis bij. Daarnaast hebben we toen een boerderij gekocht. En er kwam weer, daar werden toen nog eens 8 huizen gebouwd. Er is daarna nog eens een keer een huis gebouwd. Er is een sportclub. Er is huiswerkbegeleiding in favela's. Er gebeurt gewoon ontzettend veel.
En jij bent de aanstichter.
Nou, ik ben gelukkig de man die het woord van God heeft gevolgd en heeft kunnen overbrengen naar andere mensen.
Een aantal jaren geleden was ik bij jou op bezoek. Ik heb je werk gezien, vond het erg indrukwekkend. En een paar dingen staan in mijn geheugen gegrift. Een van die kleine ukkies die lijm in een zakje deden en dat opsnoven om high te worden. En wat nooit zal vergeten, een heuvel waar je me mee naar toe nam en waar kinderen, waar ze vanaf wilden, vanaf gedumpt werden, hun dood tegemoet. Gebeurt dat nog steeds?
Nee, tegenwoordig worden de kinderen in autobanden gestopt en verbrand. Die droom van die kinderen is als kindsoldaat in een drugsbende te mogen werken. En dat is juist het verschrikkelijke, want waar komen ze dan te werken? Als uitkijkpost om de Krottenwijk. En dat betekent als de politie of een concurrerende drugsbende binnen wil komen en die actie succesvol wil maken, dan wordt gericht op zo'n jongetje geschoten en die is dan het eerste slachtoffer. En ik vroeg ooit eens aan de drugsbaas, waarom gebruiken jullie nou juist die straatkinderen daarvoor? En toen zei die Robert, om die straatkinderen, daar huilt niemand om. Als het de kinderen uit onze eigen wijk zijn, dan is er altijd wel een huilende vader, is een huilende moeder. Maar om straatkinderen huilt niemand. Vlak voordat ik in Nederland ging, ontmoette ik een meisje van, die is net 9 jaar geworden. En die vertelde mij het verhaal van Robert. Gisteren zijn twee jongens, die zijn door de drugsbende gepakt. Die zijn hier vlak voor het schooltje zijn gemarteld. En daarna levend in de brand gestoken. En dat vertelde dat meisje op zo'n normale manier. Dat ik haar alleen maar kon omhelzen. En daar had ik heel veel verdriet over. Dat die kinderen op die leeftijd dan zo normaal vinden. Dat ze zo'n vreselijk beeld zien. Dagelijkse beelden.
Je bent ooit begonnen met, zoals het heet, Help Mijn Leven. Duizenden kinderen zijn door jou en je medewerkers gered van een wisse dood. Hebben een nieuw bestaan gekregen. Maar je zit er nog steeds. Word je niet eens wanhopig dat je denkt, ja, het is een druppel op een gloeiende plaat.
Dat denken we natuurlijk altijd. Het is er maar één, maar het gaat er om één. En dat is gewoon heel duidelijk de boodschap. We hadden een jonge Gielson. Gielson was straatkind. Die heeft met moord en doodslag te maken gehad toen hij 9 jaar was. En heeft daarna in een van onze huizen gewoond. En die is nu die theologie gaan studeren. En die is dominee.
Zo.
Dus met zijn woord bereikt hij weer heel veel anderen. Ja. We hebben een andere straatjongen, die werkt op straat en in onze woonhuizen. En die vertelt wat hem overkomen is, weer aan de andere straatkinderen.
Ja. Als je nou terugkijkt op je leven, je wilde graag sportleraar worden. Je werkte hier met moeilijk opvoedbare kinderen. Het zijn uiteindelijk de kinderen van de sloppenwijken geworden. Is het dan dat je zegt, nou, dat is eigenlijk waar ik van droomde?
Nou, van tevoren had ik er natuurlijk helemaal nooit over gedroomd. Ik had gedacht, ik word sportleraar, ik ga de hele wereld zien. Zuid-Amerika is het eerste gedeelte, daarna komt Azië. Ik had nooit van gedroomd dat ik dit natuurlijk in Brazilië zou doen. Als ik nou terugkijk op wat er alles de afgelopen jaren is gebeurd, ben ik alleen maar een zeer gelukkig mens dat we zoveel kinderen met z'n allen er hebben uit kunnen halen.
Ja.
Uit die hel.
Ja, wat is je droom?
Ik heb nog zoveel dromen. Ik zou eens een keer, voornamelijk, ik zou eens willen dat die drugsoorlogen zouden ophouden. Dat mensen in krottenwijken, daar, hè, bijna 3 miljoen mensen die daar in die 800, meer dan 800 krottenwijken wonen, dat die eens in vrede zou kunnen wonen. Ja. Dat er vrede is.
Ja. Want kinderen en drugs is niet alleen een probleem in Nederland, maar zeker in de sloppenwijken. Crack, dat is een hele goedkope, maar zeer gevaarlijke drug. Dat doet enorm zijn opmars, hè, nu in de sloppenwijken.
Ja.
Kunnen kinderen daar makkelijk aankomen?
Heel gemakkelijk, want je kunt voor 50 cent, een euro, kun je al crackbolletjes kopen. Dus die kinderen die stelen of knappen allerlei karweitjes op voor de drugsbende. En roken die harddrugs op.
Ja.
Dus daar zijn ze constant mee bezig, totdat ze dodelijk vermoeid neervallen. En dan komen wij in beeld.
Robert, jij gaat weer terug naar Brazilië en ik wil je graag een boekje meegeven wat je mogelijk in het vliegtuig kunt lezen. Zonder geloof kan het niet functioneren.
Oh,
ze schreven naar aanleiding van de 500 uitzendingen van Hour of Power. Okay. Jij staat er niet in, maar misschien in de volgende uitgave.
Oké, okay. Heel hartelijk bedankt.
Ja, en geweldig wat je doet. Je bent een inspirerend voorbeeld.
Oké, bedankt.
En wij gaan terug naar de Crystal Cathedral en daar zit Roger Williams, Mr. Piano, achter de piano om klaar om te spelen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Roger Williams. Well, we have a very wonderful guest today, Ken Duncan, all the way from Australia. And Ken, come in, come on in, Ken. He's been with us before. He was touched by the hour of power in his home in Australia, made a deeper commitment to Christ, and has been a very deep spiritual friend ever since. You are looking at the internationally renowned photography. There is no photographer in the world that surpasses his reputation as a premier panoramic landscape photographer. It is phenomenal. This is hard work, taking pictures the way you take them.
I really like my job, and I don't think I'll get any sympathy for traveling around the world taking photographs from the audience, but I just love it because it's time that I spend with God and reflect on His beauty, and He's such an awesome God.
Now, Ken Duncan, you are going to give us a message today,
I
right?
I certainly am.
But welcome with me, Ken Duncan.
Thank you, Dr. Shuler, for having me today. It's so great to be in the Crystal Cathedral. I love this place. I mean, look at this wonderful window of creation. You know, it's something amazing about creation. How can anyone not believe in a God? And I love this place because this place to me is like a fountain of hope. A place like a Cape Canaveral where dreams and of rockets of dreams or of hope are sort of expanded out into the world. My message today is life is an adventure. And to me, life is an adventure, but more importantly, life's an adventure when you allow Jesus to walk with you. You know, in life we can have difficult times, there's no doubt about it. And being a Christian doesn't exempt you from that. But you know, the good thing about being a Christian is when you do tough times, you're not doing it alone. You've got God walking with you. That's what makes the difference. Now, I wasn't always a Christian. In fact, it took me to have a condition called agoraphobia before I finally gave in and realized I needed something more. Now, agoraphobia is the fear of leaving home. It's like an anxiety condition. And trust me, this is the worst condition you can have as a landscape photographer. You can't be just taking photographs in your living room. You've got to sort of actually get out. So how do you come out of that sort of condition of agoraphobia? You know, agoraphobia is like a fear. It's a fear that can keep you trapped in a prison. And you know, that's what fear is. It is a prison. Whatever that fear is, it holds us captive to that little room. So what was it that was going to get me out of that place? At that stage, I hadn't been a Christian, but I started to watch the show, the Crystal Cathedral show, and God started to minister into my heart, and I started to realize I had a need, that I wasn't going to be able to get out of that prison unless I had some help. And that's where I came to know Christ. And you know, the thing is, there was a scripture that was given to me at that time that really impacted my life, and it's Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. Because you know, in our own ability, there's only so much we can do. And when you've got agoraphobia, there's very little you can do, or very little I could do. So I really needed that help. So it was that relationship. I asked Jesus into my life at that point as my own Lord and Savior. And I will never forget that moment. Because when I did it, all of a sudden there was just this transformation. I knew I was no longer alone. I felt a peace. Now, God didn't just remove the agoraphobia straight away, but He began to walk with me. And you know, in a way, I thank God for allowing me to go through that difficulty, because going through it, it enabled me to learn to walk with Jesus. And through that walk, it became so real. Saying that verse, to get out of my house, I used to have to say, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. Now look, I wasn't just doing it like that with that weird little walk there. But you know, inside I was saying that verse again and again. And that was the thing that got me out of the prison of my fears. the reality of that walk. You know, there's two things you can do with fear. You can either allow it to hold you captive, or you can walk straight into that thing. And with Jesus with you, you can do anything. There's nothing impossible. Life is an adventure when you have Jesus. As I said before, it doesn't mean things aren't going to happen. But you know what? God is with you. We are in this world, but we're not of this world. We do not have to be concerned about the worries of the world. You know, there's all these anxieties in the world. Not so long ago, it was Bin Laden was going to get you. If it's not Bin Laden, it's interest rates. If it's not interest rates, it's petrol prices. If it's not that, it's some other crisis that's coming up. But you know, these things, as real as they can be, we are in this world, but not of this world. The Lord will provide. He will look after us. He will be with us. He is our strength. Jesus is real. That's why I love walking with Him. I walk and talk with Him out in the beauty of His creation. That's why I love this place. Look at that beautiful view. You know, let's always remember, be connected with the bigger picture that God has got for us all, because God has got a bigger picture for every person. And God gives us pictures that are bigger than us so that we are reliant in Him, that we're not reliant in our ability. You know, how many of you would like to see a miracle in your life? We'd all love to see a miracle. Of course we'd all love to see a miracle. But you know what? To have a miracle, you've got to allow yourself to be put in a place where you need a miracle. How many people want to be put in that place? Well, I'm telling you, God will not let you down. He is awesome. So many times in our life, we allow fears to worry us. I'd like to share a little funny story, actually. When I came over to America, photographing all around America, I went up to Alaska, and I wanted to go up there and shoot the beauty of Alaska and Denali National Park. And I went up there, and you American people and a lot of people think that us Australians have some pretty radical animals like crocodiles and snakes and all that sort of stuff. And yes, we do have some pretty interesting animals. But the thing is with a crocodile, like, we have crocodiles, but you have grizzly bears. Now, hello, a crocodile knows the rules. It sort of stays around the water and, you know, it doesn't go far from the water. Whereas a grizzly bear, that thing can run faster than like a horse in it. It can do all, swim fast, and I don't think it can actually climb a tree, but I reckon it could give it a really good shake so it would get you out of that tree. So off I go up to Denali National Park, and I'd heard that there were these grizzly bears there. So I did a briefing with the ranger there, and he said, now, if you see a grizzly bear, this is what you do. And, you know, first of all, look big. Put on your backpack, look big. And I'm going, okay, I'm big, I can do look big. And he said, don't move, stand still. So I'm saying, okay, standing still, that would probably be easy because I'd probably be frozen still anyhow. So I'm sitting there, stand still. And then he says, now if it starts moving towards you, still stand still. And then he says, now if it runs towards you, still stand still because it may be just charging to, you know, to see how it's going to go. And I'm thinking, okay, okay. And now it'll probably maybe stop just in front of you. Now, if it doesn't, well then, play dead, play dead. I'm going, play dead, are you for real? I mean, what are you talking about? And he going, play dead. And I said, well, sir, what happens if that doesn't work? And he says, well, after that, you got to make it up as you go. So you talk about our animals. So off I go to the beautiful Denali National Park to do this, you know, photography. And before I went there, I also went into a store. And I said, what should I take for bears? And the guy said, you need a gun. I said, mate, I can't have a gun. I'm an Australian. We're not allowed to have guns, you know. He said, well, I'll be taking a gun. I said, it's a national park. You can't take a gun. Anyway, I said, look, we're not doing a gun. So he said, well, look, have some of this pepper spray. And he gave me these bells that you stick on you, which I found out later, the rangers actually call them dinner bells because it just rings so the bears know that you're coming for dinner. I think you're the dinner. So off we go into Denali Park with my little bear bells and my can of pepper spray. And off we go doing some walking through the park. And one particular morning, we went in to do a a sunrise. Now, everyone had told me before this that I was going at the wrong time of year, that nothing would happen. But I just felt God say, go. And so here we are, and all of a sudden it's early morning, and we're doing this sunrise, and well, actually, up there, you do a sunset, and then a sunrise, because the sun sets, the dips, and then it comes back up again. It's wonderful. You get your whole day done very quickly. You do sunset, sunrise, then you go to bed for the rest of the day. So we're sitting there, we'd had our mountain bikes to ride there and get there. I was with my assistant jingling all the way and praying, going, Lord, keep the bears away. And so we get there. I had this incredible experience. We just had this full moon come up as well. The sun went down, the full moon. It was just awesome. I'm sitting there going, God, you are so incredible. And so here I am having this incredible time with God, just waiting through this experience. I take the photos and everything like that. And then all of a sudden it's all over. We go back to our bikes to go off to take some more photos. And all of a sudden I look over and I see a moose. A big moose. And like, I didn't really know how big mooses were, because Rocky and Bullwinkle was my sort of thing, you know, like, they're very user-friendly mooses, you know. So I'm seeing this moose, and I'm thinking, maybe this is a photo opportunity. So I think, and my assistant looks at me and says, I don't think this is a photo opportunity. They look very big. And so he gets on his bike, like, he's meant to be my assistant, but he's on his bike. He says, Ken, I'll meet you up the top of the hill. And I'm thinking, what about the camera? So all of a sudden the moose is paying interest in us and he's starting to come towards us. And I'm thinking, I'm not sure about moose, but this doesn't look very good. So I put my camera on my bag and I get on my bike, and by this stage the moose is really starting to move towards us, galloping, and I'm thinking, this definitely doesn't look good. So I get on my bike, and because I've come down a gear, down a hill, I'm in the wrong gear, aren't I? I'm in a high gear. But does it matter? No, because I don't have time to change the gears, because I got a moose coming at me. So, man, I'm pedaling. The adrenaline in me was just like incredible. I could have won an Olympic game at that particular time. So I'm going up the hill, and this moose is coming behind me, going, and it's snorting. I'm thinking, oh, Lord, help me, you know. And then all of a sudden, praise God, the moose stopped. Now, my assistant was very nice. He was watching on top of the hill so that he could probably tell my mother how it happened. But anyhow, finally, I got away from the moose. But I met up with the park ranger just an hour later, and he said, Ken, and so how's it going with the grizzly bear? And I said, well, actually, we haven't had a problem with the grizzly bear, but we got chased by a moose. And he said, oh, the moose. He said, you've got to watch out for the moose. More people get killed by the moose than the grizzly bear. And I'm saying, well, why didn't you tell me about the moose? You know. So the moral of that story is we can spend our whole life worrying about the grizzly bear, and it's the moose that gets you. So, you know, look, God is an awesome God. And look, I encourage you, we do not have a spirit of fear. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. There's nothing impossible in him. Look, God also says in the Bible, he uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. I am one of those foolish things, and I love it. God is cool. The world can talk about recession as much as it wants, but you know what? Just don't turn up to the party. You don't have to be part of a recession. We are in God's kingdom. God will look after us. He has never let me down. He has never let the Shulas down, because, you know, faith is the opposite to fear. And we are born for this time. We are not dependent on the world. We are dependent on God. And he loves us, and he will never let us down. When I was young, everything was an adventure. Unless, of course, somehow we've been damaged as young kids. And, you know, sometimes that happens. Sometimes kids have had their dreams stolen from them as a young age. But, you know, I was brought up by a loving family. My mother, you couldn't get her away from the Crystal Cathedral on a Sunday. She'd be always there in Australia watching that. So she was full of power, full of positive thinking. But normally, in a normal childhood, when we're brought up, life's an adventure. We can't help ourselves but think, wow, look at that over there. And you don't even think about what will happen. You just go there. I mean, when I was younger, when I first came to America, I was on an airplane. I actually didn't even have a hotel booked at the other end. I was going to New York. And I just got on the airplane and off I go. But when we get older, if we're not careful, all of a sudden, rather than life being an adventure, life can become a worry. We start to think about, well, what'll happen if? Oh, but what'll happen if this happens? So then we start to try and anticipate everything that will happen to try and accommodate for it. And you know what? Just like the story with the moose in America and the grizzly bear, we can worry about things that will never happen. And guess what? Something else happens that we didn't even anticipate. But we handle it. And that's what makes life an adventure. The adventure of life is as we see God do things in our life to help us overcome whatever comes our way. Now, in the book that we've just done for the Shula Ministries, and it's a wonderful thing, we had to actually look at all the inspirational quotes from the Dr. Shulas and some of the Shulas. This is talking about years of wisdom, and I had to actually pick photos for all of these different sayings and all these different thoughts that have come from years in the ministry and years walking as a Christian. I'm telling you, after you've done a whole year's worth in a couple of weeks, I was so, wow, on fire. I go, wow, man, this stuff is so good. Like I'd read one, I go, wow, that is so good. Yes, yes, yes. And I'm on to the next one. Oh, that's good too. Oh, I want... I was just like a kid in a candy store. I was like, whoa, whoa. So I encourage you. This book is incredible for us at this time, because at a time when people are allowing fear to hold them captive, this is the time where we need to put our faith in action, and we need to feed the faith. Turn off the news. It's not good news, and we don't need to listen to that stuff. The news we need to know is the good news that comes from the Bible. This is the truth. The Bible is the truth, not what man says. God is victorious. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening to me and having me here in this beautiful cathedral. You know, if you're out there and in your heart you're heavy laden, I just encourage you to get your focus back on God. Because all things are possible in Him. And life is an adventure when we're walking with Him. You know, if we're having difficulties, go out and look up unto the stars. Just look at the stars at night. And when you look at those stars at night and see them all firmly placed up there in the heavens above, it puts into perspective our worries and the thoughts here on earth. If God can deal with all that awesomeness out there, there's nothing He can't deal with in our life. Look around you at the beauty that surrounds us. Don't get so focused on your problems. I just encourage you to look beyond and look at what God's got for you, because God has a destiny for every person and He has a miracle for every situation. Thank you for allowing me to be here today. For me, it's like a dream. This is where my journey began, and here I am actually talking to all you beautiful people.
May the Lord bless you, keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may God give you peace in your going out, in your coming in your lying down, in your rising up, in your labor, and in your leisure, until you come to stand before Jesus in that day in which there is no sunset and no dawning. Amen.
En met het slotgebed van dominee Schoelen, met die prachtige woorden, de Heere zegenen en behoeden je, nemen we afscheid. En dat wens ik ook iedere kijker toe, jong en oud, dat je door God gezegend mag worden. Ik hoop ook door deze uitzending. Prachtig verhaal. Ik vermag alle dingen door God die mij kracht geeft. Een bijbeltekst om je aan vast te houden. Filippenzen 4 staat hier als je het na wil lezen. Hartelijk bedankt voor het kijken naar deze uitzending van Hour of Power. Volgende week hopen we weer te zijn, dan met onder andere Doekle Terpstra. Hij was voorzitter van het CNV, is nu voorzitter van de HBO-raad. En hij vertelt over wat hem motiveert voor de Nederlandse samenleving. Tot volgende week bij Hour of Power. En een hele goede zondag toegewenst.